Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 108. We've got a packed show this evening. Myself and Jonathan Birdsong will be joining you. We're waiting for JB to call in here shortly. But we have a monster show tonight. We're going to do a quick recap and just thoughts on the Super Bowl. We didn't get on after the game, so just a quick talk about the Super Bowl, what our thoughts were. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL notes and news from this week as well that happened. And then we had a huge day and week in the NBA, so we're going to talk some NBA and also talk the huge NBA trade deadline that happened this afternoon. A lot of moves made throughout the NBA. Some teams didn't make a move, like our Indiana Pacers here in Indianapolis did not make a move at all. So kind of as expected, but we'll talk about that, all things NBA. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pacers, what to expect here in the second half, last night's collapse against the defending champion Toronto Raptors, and then we're going to hit some quick hitters and then end the show this evening. So we're going to have about an hour show here. Jonathan will be joining us here momentarily, so we'll get on with him. While we're waiting for Jonathan, we're going to take a quick break, run two quick ads or so, then we'll be back hopefully with Jonathan on.
Hey guys, if you're going to bet on anything, there's one site, the Action Network. It gives you all the information you need to make a smart, intelligent investment, not only in a bet, but in yourself. I love this app. I've turned my friends onto this app, and they absolutely love it. It's the Action Network. The Action Network tracks your bets on the Action Network app. You track your bets across all major sports in one place. You get school alerts specific to your action, follow your friends' action, and get a real-time notifications when I make a bet. You can see our records from the last 7 days, 30 days, all time, and by sports. Not only can you see what smart people gamble on, but you can find out in their thousands and thousands of articles that dive deep into the things way more than just numbers. Why the bet you want to make is a dumb one, or maybe it's the bet you want to back up for making the bad bet. The Action Network is a one-stop shop for gamblers. It's a gambler's paradise, guys. They can track your bets. They can tell you what bets are good, if you're currently winning the bet, and what percentage probability you have to actually win the bet. You can go against the money. You can go with the shark money. You can read the sharp trends and be a better gambler. The Action Network gives you all the tools to win. So go ahead and track me and follow me, and you can get in the action. GetAction.app/BrandonReef to follow my bets. Go to the Action Network, download the app, be a smarter gambler, and also track the bets of yours, so you can see how much money you're raking in. The Action Network, the greatest place on earth to be an informed gambler.
All right, and we are back. JB is joining us. Jonathan, my man, how are you?
Good evening, Crossroads family, and Brandon Reef, how you doing, man?
Good, 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 good. Just kind of gave the folks a rundown here in an icy and snowy Indianapolis after it was just sunny and warm.
Yeah, sunny and warm, back to icy, back to the real reality of winter here in February of Indianapolis, man. But we're going to plug through. I'm pretty sure a warm streak is going to come up in like the next 4 days or so. So we'll just have to grin and bear it while we can.
I would hope so. Sunday for the Super Bowl that morning, I went out and played golf with my dad. And then on the third, Monday, was my birthday. So during that day, I went out with a couple buddies of mine. We went and played golf. It was nice and 60 degrees. Played golf in Indiana on February 3rd. You got to take advantage of it. So, yeah, great time. But packed show tonight, John. We're going to talk some Super Bowl, just some quick thoughts on Super Bowl since it's been 4 or 5 days ago. We don't want to go all the way back. So just some quick talk on the Super Bowl. Got some NFL news and notes. And then, obviously, the majority of this big show is going to be a lot NBA dive into the NBA big time, talking NBA, right. The trade deadline, talk a little bit about the Indiana Pacers. They had some struggles last night. and then kind of what we're looking towards for the second half, and then we'll kind of end on some quick hitters tonight. So, John, Super Bowl Sunday, I think the Chiefs did what everybody thought they would do. Hey, you know what? Let's spot everybody 10 points and then just battle back.
Yeah, that's you have to give you the thought, you know what I'm saying, your hats off to the Chiefs. They came out with the victory. They call themselves the Zoom. What do they call them? Not the Boom Squad. The Zoom Squad or something like that. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill got real cocky all of a sudden. To the tune of Brandon, man, I have people debating if Kelce's the best tight end in the league. Just because he got Super Bowl, won Super Bowl, and I, you know, man, you, hey, last couple of years, you know, he's looked like a great tight end. Conference kind of came up short, but like, you know, I mean, you know, those are learning experience, man, and he played a hell of a fight game, as did Patty Mahomes once he woke up. I wasn't happy, honestly, Brandon, with some of how they utilize. When I'm critical of Andy Reid's play calling, I'm critical of like how he utilizes his players. You know what I'm saying? On this show alone, man, we joke around and call Patty Mahomes the future Hall of Famer, right? But we all know he's MVP last year, and he's MVP seemingly play wise, be MVP caliber every year, right? Candidate rather. But the thing about it is, man, like it doesn't really get to go on it, and I don't think they really utilize him like until things get critical. And like, man, that's like the frustrating thing to kind of watch him. From afar, because like he could be, you think with his talent base, man, the Chiefs could be, and with that offense and with the weapons they have, they could be so dominant. We didn't see a whole lot of rolling out or a whole lot of scrambling, and I can't take that back. He had a big scramble at the beginning of the first half with that big hit, which I was kind of worried about because he didn't slide. But hell, when you're in the Super Bowl, you don't slide; you just kind of go for it, right? But I think Andy Reid kind of uses him conservatively. And maybe that is kind of like so for him to kind of watch, because like if he goes down, then the Chiefs kind of go down. It's kind of like the, you know, the, you chop off the head of the snake and everything kind of falls apart. But I don't want to say the Chiefs didn't win it because they had to come back and put some points on the board. So you can't say that the San Francisco 49ers were the best defense that we've seen in this year in the NFL. They play a lot of bully ball on the defensive side of the. They also play a lot of bully ball on their offensive line. That's the way they're able to rush so much, man. Kyle Shanahan didn't learn his lesson from being an offensive coordinator. You gotta play to your strengths, and they didn't do that. The strength of this particular team is not, and I'm not getting ready to put Garoppolo. Yeah, I said his name right, Brandon. I'm not ready to put Garoppolo in a game manager category just yet. I know he looked terrible the second half of the Super Bowl, especially with that two-handed pass. He was basically trying to, you know, saying to, not get sacked, but that was a horrible way. Like the pocket had collapsed, man, and everything kind of went to shits. But the 49ers didn't play to their strength the entire game.
No, they stopped running the ball.
Yeah, meaning like the NCAA and NBA. Are copycat leagues, and I thought the NFL was a copycat league too, but nobody seemingly got, you know what I'm saying, the copycat plan that Bill Belichick used so many times against like our offensively powered teams, namely the Colts, if you go back to the St. Louis Rams when they beat them in the Super Bowl. The best way to keep another team down is to do what you do best, right, and to take away what they do best. And for years, man, the New England Patriots took away what the Colts do best by having Peyton Manning out the field, and they would just get up and would just play like, you know, stall ball or play great defense or take or whatever they could do to antagonize and aggravate the Colts offensively so that they couldn't, that Peyton Manning would be on the sideline. Well, guess what, man?
Right.
That's how you beat the Chiefs. That's how the Colts beat the Chiefs in the regular season this year. Patty Mahomes on that sideline. And then, you know, everything else kind of falls into play. Again, man, I don't necessarily hang this on the team, on the defensive side of the ball, or on Garoppolo. I messed up the name there, but or Jimmy G. I blame this on Kyle Shanahan. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the game, looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, the first half, they were really just playing the game not to lose. They're playing a safe game. I felt like Andy Reid's scripting in the first half was very safe. And their first couple games, and basically all season, they haven't been safe. They've kind of just went out and did their own thing and adapted from there. But they played it safe, and, you know, they got themselves in a hole at halftime. And, I sent you a text there in the fourth quarter even, like, you know, for the 49ers, we thought. And then they started taking chances. That's what Kansas City does. They take those chances. You hit a big play, big pass to Tyreek Hill. You get the chain going. You get them going. Also, the 49ers, Shanahan, he's been outscored 40 as a team he's coached or been a part of as offensive coordinator for the Falcons. They've been outscored 46-0 in the fourth quarter in two Super Bowls. You can't blame me. Maybe we won't blame him for everything. And he's not the one catching the ball, making the passes. But you're not making the changes necessary for your team to put them in the winning situation. Back when it was the New England Patriots and the Falcons, it's running the football. They didn't run the football. They passed it. Here in this game, they didn't run the football again. You know, you got two guys on that team, Tevin Coleman and Raheem Morrissey, that most of us should be running the ball. That's what got you to the Super Bowl. And you're sitting there passing. And the biggest key, I thought, John, my thing looking at the game was San Francisco's edge pass rush, which I thought would be huge, started out being huge until Mahomes was able to find his way out of the pocket and he could adapt. The problem with Jimmy G is when the Chiefs rushed, they have a bully rush. So they run right up the middle at you. And that gives them all the opportunity to bat the balls down, get Jimmy G, because Jimmy G is not a runner. We know that. When he gets out of the pocket, it can be a little rough with him. He's kind of like a Tom Brady 2.0. You know, it's like a deer on the ice. It's not something that's very graceful. But when they rushed and bully rushed up the middle, they were able to bat those balls, and that got Jimmy G out of his play call. And when you're sitting there second down and 10, third and 10 or whatnot, you have to pass, and that got them out of their gameplay. I was happy to see the Chiefs win. Andy Reid got the monkey off his back, Super Bowl champion. I thought it was a good game.
Do we believe?
I really did.
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely entertaining game, good game. Kind of helped you get her off, you know, some of the things that we all as sports fans are in the world is dealing with, right? But, you know, I can't necessarily have the Chiefs. I mean, you know, Vegas and everybody else got Chiefs, you know what I'm saying, being Super Bowl champs next year. And I can't book that. I can't.
Oh, no.
I think.
I do not.
They're a little too they're kind of like Philadelphia, the Eagles won when they won. They're kind of a little too not cohesive just yet. Like, they don't have the business. Like, you know, everybody can't be cocky and brash like the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s. You know what I'm saying? And then wake up and win a Super Bowl. So I just don't think. I don't want the Chiefs to go anyway. I'm a Colts fan, right? And I know you're a Steelers fan, right? You know what I'm saying? For AFC domination, right? You want your team to go, but I just don't think they solidified as like a back to back champion just yet. Somebody you can just
okay. I agree. I agree with that. I think it's just the flavor of the hot team, and everybody's going with them. Yeah, Mahomes is young, and the Chiefs got to do some thinking. Now, Mahomes is going to be entering his fourth year of his rookie deal, and it's fourth and final year. So I don't think they'll re-sign him before this next season, especially if they want to keep some of their players. I think they'll go one more year and then sign him to a max deal because they can still keep him on that rookie payroll this next season. I think one of the salary caps they're going to have, John, is Sammy Watkins. He's going to have a $23 million cap hit this year. I think he ends up being a casualty for them, and he ends up leaving. And, you know, it's fine because they've got some other guys in there that can catch passes. And Sammy Watkins, if you remember right, he had a hell of a first week of the season, 200-some yards and 3 touchdowns. He had a hell of a week 17 or week 18. And then he had the two playoff games where he had big plays. So he really didn't do too much in between that. But, no, it was great. Andy Reid, you finally got it. You got your win. Shady McCoy is a Super Bowl champion, even though he didn't even get a healthy scratch. Travis Kelce, I think he's always been overrated. I don't like the fact that they've always compared him to Gronkowski or Tony Gonzalez. I don't think he's even close. John,
yeah.
He's not even in the same neighborhood or state as those two guys.
No. Mm-mm. Not at all.
Maybe
not at all.
Not even Shannon Sharp yet.
Don't get disrespectful. No, ma'am. No, sir. He's not.
So, but I thought it was a good game. John, I would be remiss if I didn't ask your thoughts on that Super Bowl halftime show.
Man, you know, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, man. The America, or the world, whoever watches, man, has really changed since Janet Jackson popped out a boobie on 2004 to what we saw. The 40-year-old Shakira, who's amazing, who looks amazing for to be a 40-year-old woman, and not to be outdone, the 51-year-old Jennifer Lopez. It's cool, man.
It was the year of the booty shake, man.
I don't want to be. We try to keep it. We got a good women listening off, women listening audience. So I don't want to get too caveman on the airwaves tonight. So yeah, good show. I'll just say good show.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought there was some stuff that could go without, but ranking it wise, I think maybe top 13. I don't think it's a top 10 performance of all time that I've seen for a show. So, okay, so we'll put a bow on the Super Bowl for that. Other NFL news and notes, John. Patrick Mahomes won the MVP. Quarterbacks have won a ton of MVP awards. I honestly don't think he deserved it. I think that Damian Williams should have got the MVP award.
Well, I thought the wide out. I thought Tyreek Hill should have got the – he the one, you know what I'm saying, got the – broke the – you know what I'm saying, caught the ball. Patrick Mahomes played real crappy throughout, but then, like I said, kind of when he woke up. So that's the reason why he got it. Kind of reminds you of that time Peyton Manning got it, and maybe Dominique Rose and should have got it in the Super Bowl because he had – all, you know what I'm saying, he was a run that got all the back on touchdowns. But – The way they look at it is like, would the Kansas City Chiefs, would they be there without Patrick Mahomes? And the answer is a fat no. So there you are. Right. There is your Super Bowl MVP.
News and notes from the NFL. A weird interview this morning, John. I caught it this morning while I was here at home eating breakfast. Antonio Brown went on 93.7 The Fan out of Pittsburgh, and I listen to that station quite a bit just for Pittsburgh sports radio. And he went on, and it was a very candid interview that he had with the Pittsburgh media, you know, the equivalent of Dan Dockage and JMV. And the one guy on there, Colin Dunlap, if you don't know who he is, picture Dan Dockage and times it by two. That's the kind of level that he says things and can get people very fired up on a sports radio show. But they had Antonio Brown on there, and he was very apologizing to – Mike Tomlin. He was apologizing to the Kevin Colbert, the general manager. He apologized to Ben Roethlisberger. I sent you the tweets that I saw. He still has beef with Juju. He made that very clear on there. But he was very apologetic. He said he still loves the city of Pittsburgh and he hopes to come back. I hope to God he would never ever end up in a Pittsburgh Steeler uniform again.
I don't.
We have learned that lesson. It was kind of an about face with him.
Yeah, he can do all the apologies he wants. I don't think they embrace him with open arms. Not next year, and maybe not even next year after that. Tom, you know, you never know, man. Unless you're talking about Major League Baseball, time heals all wounds. Sorry, Pete Rose fans. But, yeah, time heals all wounds, man. And, like, at some point, maybe, if he, you know what I'm saying, can, you know what I'm saying, do a reclamation with his career next couple of years, they might, you know what I'm saying, let him retire Pittsburgh Steelers or something like that. I wouldn't put it. Never say never.
And I was shocked that he apologized to Ben Roethlisberger, and he talked about just how good he loves Ben. And I'm like, where the hell is this coming from? Just because you go to rehab, does that mean all of a sudden everything changes?
Well, it's something he needed to do. And I'm kind of.
But he did mention mental health, and he did mention mental health and the seriousness level of it. So. I think that's kind of showing that, you know, he's realized he has a problem. And they asked him some pretty blunt questions that would get him fired up. And he did a very good job on his answering with that. So, it was a very interesting interview. I thought it was. And I wasn't expecting it on a Thursday morning. Something hits local to home here. This past Saturday, it was announced Edgerrin James is getting that Hall of Fame nod, John. Your thoughts when you finally saw it come across?
Man, when I saw it come across was all that money that he had for his stripper bowl party. Edgerrin James is always in the – Edgerrin James, I can't necessarily say that's a class act. I mean, when I was a youngster, I liked, you know, stripper bowl parties, I guess. I don't know. I hope my daughter's not listening. I'm busted now. But, you know, regardless of the little stunt that we put on during Super Bowl weekend, you know, Edgerrin James is an all-time Colt great. He is I can honestly say I think he is on the fringe to make the Hall of Fame, but he's definitely greater than, like, the average Colt great. So that's where it's kind of like a gray area. But he's, you know what I'm saying, he's had some dynamic seasons where if it wasn't for names like, you know, playing in league at the same time with, like, Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Thompson, you know what I'm saying, he was head and shoulders, you know what I'm saying, either statistically better than him or, or they came up short because the Colts came up short. It wasn't because necessarily he's something he'd done, you know what I'm saying. Went down, I thought, early in his career with a knee injury and, like, you know, bounced around. Had that, you know, saying even that season in Arizona, had it decent, but it wasn't necessarily, it was never anything like how he had in Indianapolis, man. But yes, I obviously, if Peyton Manning, we don't Peyton Manning, but if anybody else in that during that time, Marvin Harrison, help me out, I'm trying to think who, yeah, they definitely, yeah, he should be a Hall of Famer too. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, that was, you know, definitely should be a Hall of Famer. But I can understand why it's kind of like a gray area, you know what I'm saying, before they make it official.
Okay. My personal thoughts, and I put it on Twitter as well, is I didn't think Edgerrin James was Hall of Fame worthy. And I still to this day don't think he is. He's not even – I'm sorry. He does not have the stats, and I have the website for it. Of the running back Hall of Fame leaders, their stats, their rankings, the rating for them. The average Hall of Fame running back rating is a 99, has one championship, three AP Player of the Year awards, at least six Pro Bowls, and at least 86 touchdowns and or so with him. I just don't. You know, Edgerrin James has the 80. He's rushed for, ran for 12,000 yards. Yeah, he had the great yardage, but he doesn't have that championship.
That's playing with the championship.
Right, but did he get the Hall of Fame himself, or is he getting it because of Peyton Manning? Is he getting it because, well, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison are Hall of Famers, so I guess we have to give it to Edgerrin.
Is the bus a Hall of Famer?
He is.
He is a Hall of Famer. But that crap he did when he was with the Rams, all right, put up that one loss record of his when he was with
Rams. He's also rushed for 11 more touchdowns than Edgerrin James and also 1,672 yards more than Edgerrin James as well.
I think we split
this.
The one loss record that he up underneath the Peyton Manning years and with Marvin Harrison, that Edgerrin James is part of that. So that's how he gets in.
I just didn't think he deserved it. I think we're watering down the Hall of Fame with that. So, now I have no problem when Reggie Wayne gets in. I have no problem with that. I think it's well deserved, but I don't know, something about Edgerrin James. It just did not seem. There's no championship won. He never won a championship.
LaDainian Thompson didn't either. I'm LaDainian Thompson didn't either. I mean, I could start off naming.
LaDainian Thompson though set records. Edgerrin James
set
records. LaDainian Thompson
James
set the most amount of the most touchdowns in a regular season for a running back. Back in an era when it was it was never even thought of or heard of for a running back to do it.
But you're trying to put Edgerrin James like he's Chris Johnson, like he's Jamal Anderson, and he's not. He got way better stats than any of those guys, and they all play in this era as well. Just saying.
his stats are very similar. I'm looking right now.
Curtis
Martin.
He's
got 2,000 yards. And here's my thing, John. If Adrian Peterson doesn't go first ballot Hall of Fame, then we really got a problem.
Well,
Peterson, 111 touchdowns, 14,000 yards.
AP's
no touch or no championships, huh?
I'm saying Adrian Peterson is also MVP though, so that kind of supersedes anything.
Yeah, so
you get that. All right, man. We can talk about we can pull up off the stats, man. We'll talk about this later. We'll talk about Edgar James Hall of Fame later.
Frank Gore, Hall of Famer.
Oh my God, because we didn't play 1,000 years, I guess so.
Well, are you giving it to him?
He is a Hall of Famer for his body of work that he accrued in San Francisco, and then as he's he's also Man of the Year. Walter Payton. I'm pretty sure he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, and he's well respected in every locker room. Those things also go a long way with Hall of Fame voters.
Okay, we'll move on. We'll move on from the Edger and Jane. I don't think we're done with this conversation by a long shot, but we'll move on from it. We'll be talking about this in August when they do the inductions at Canton, and we'll be sure to bring it back up then as well. So,
yep.
Moving ahead, let's go to the NBA, John. Today was
Go ahead, big day. We can talk about trades because I didn't know if you want to talk about college, the little guys first. We talk about NBA.
College football?
College basketball.
Oh, I really don't have too much on college basketball.
That's cool, man. We can talk about NBA then. That's cool.
It's kind of been a slow week for college basketball. Besides the Boilers, they dominated last night. But we'll start NBA first.
That's cool.
The big trade deadline was today, John. A lot of moves being made, but John, I'm gonna see if you could figure out the trade. On this day in 1995, the NBA trade deadline was today. In 1995, what big trade was made, and this person went from a zero championships to a championship, and kind of resurrected his career. Yep.
In 1995?
Yes, sir.
Man, from no championships in 1995, man, sound like Bison Daley. I don't know, man. I just pulled that one out of my ear. Went from 0 to 95, so that means he would have had to join the Bulls. Right?
If I give you the nickname, he's got a nickname. If I give it to you, he's going to give it away.
Give me a nickname, that'd be a dead giveaway.
Clyde the Glide Drexler was traded from the Portland Trailblazers to the Houston Rockets today.
Right, that's when Michael they traded Clyde Drexler for Otis Thorpe.
Nobody
expiring contract. Clyde ended his career with Akeem Olajuwon that they started together in college, Fox Lama Jama. But yeah, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good feel good team, man. I got the front cover of that Sports Illustrated. When they won the championship, when Houston won the championship. Clyde Drexler, the Houston Rockets, that was the last time Houston being any good with Clyde Drexler and Kim Olajuwon and Mario Elie, Kenny Smith.
Yep.
Robert Horry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Young Robert.
Young Robert Horry before the big shot Bob.
So I thought it was interesting that today on this day, the trade deadline, it was the big trade that happened. So but we've had some trades. Clint Capella, Robert Covington were part of a massive four-team trade involving the Hawks, Nuggets, Rockets, and T-Wolves. John, what are the Houston Rockets doing? Their center listed now is 6'5" P.J. Tucker as center.
Yeah, man. Not even Don Nelson. Don Nelson, he's probably trying to figure out what the hell. And he's known for putting 6'8" guys or 6'10" lanky guys, in the middle. I don't foresee this being the Houston Rockets team. Remember that Gold State team that beat Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash so bad? Who was on that team? I wish we had
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson was on that team. But who was the point guard? Baron Davis. Our homie out there, Al Harrington, he was out there. And remember Dallas came in super hot. And I want to say
Jason Richardson.
It was just a bad matchup for everybody. It was just a bad matchup for Dallas, period. That's kind of when everybody knew Steve Nash wasn't going to play no defense, right? It was just a real bad matchup. And they played so fast. But the NBA, everybody's got small ball lineup. And I just don't foresee you playing, winning the West. And we know the Golden State Warriors are down and out right this year. And we know the West is kind of it's the Clippers and the Lakers to lose, right? But the Clippers don't really have somebody that can kick you inside. They don't. Zubac, who cares? You know, it's a lot of fouls going to be, you know what I'm saying, on Zubac, right? But, like, conventional wisdom, if you have to meet the Lakers, then Anthony Davis is going to score 50. He's going to average 50 points. And they're going to, and as long as LeBron, and you would assume as long as everybody's 100% healthy, LeBron's supercharged, like, they'll get swept against another team. Like a Portland, if they match up, I think Portland's kind of on the outs right now because I think Memphis is kind of solidified into that eighth spot at 26.5 right now. So whomever wins, right, whoever makes the eighth playoff spot, and Houston is floating between 5 and 7. Like playing with a center at 6'5", man. Like I don't think you can win for a 6'5" center in 1960. So I don't know. I thought another deal out there was going to be made. Where they maybe moved even Westbrook to make the team like complete, but hey, you know Daryl Morey runs the show there. He's an analytical guy. I guess they're going to run more up pace, and Eric Gordon, you know what I'm saying, a local product from here, is going to have to play small forward or power forward. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Another move we talked about: Andre Iguodala didn't play for Memphis; was just sitting there. Traded from the Grizzlies to the Miami Heat, signs a 2-year deal then for $30 million. And the Heat aren't done. We talked about Pat Riley. He's not going off in the sunset. They were also trying to get Gallinari from Oklahoma City as part of the moves there.
Is all this really, though, to try to win this year for Pat Riley? Does he really think he has a team that's good enough that can get to the NBA championship this year? Or can they get – I think he's put together a very formidable team that can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But they don't just have – they don't have enough to beat Milwaukee. Or that I don't – you know what I mean? Got a lot of snipers, a lot of guys people kind of overlook. Tyler Hero, I'm guilty of it. I never overlooked Duncan Robinson. I watched that kid in Michigan – when he played for B-Line. I mean, on Saturday mornings, man, I thought he was the white version of Reggie Miller. Sometimes he played up at Ann Arbor, some of them games. He was like, get a quick touch, and boom, it'd be in. Well, you know, see, he's done his little G League turn. There is a learning curve from college. It is. There's a learning curve from college to the pros, and he's finally made a roster, you know what I'm saying? You know, and, like, he's lighting it up. And Jimmy Butler is playing within his self these days, you know, and he's not being antagonistic Jimmy Butler on the team, you know. And Coach Spoelstra, who everybody kind of overlooks, you know, saying everybody, you ask everybody who's the top five coaches in the league, everybody's going to say Popovich and probably even Brad Stevens. And the basketball heads will say Spoelstra, but I don't think, you know, common, you know, people is not going to say Eric Spoelstra's won it. No, they're not. Even though they're going to say the championships was won by LeBron and Bosh and D-Wade. But Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. He's got he's pulled a lot of resources, you know what I'm saying, of his own, and he's pulled a lot of resources from Pat Riley, man. You know, so it is a surprise that this is how Pat's put it together. It's not how he's put it together in the past when he's gotten stolen, Alonzo Mourning from another team, or quote unquote stolen, you know what I'm saying, or gotten received Shaq in a big trade or something like that, or got, you know what I'm saying, the guys to take their talents to South Beach. It's kind of like a homegrown team. It's kind of like a homegrown team that he kind of put together because, again, I think a lot of people kind of forgot about Adebayo, who was kind of like an afterthought when he left Kentucky, and he's developed into an all-star. If Bam Adebayo, who, you know, says developed to an all-star, so Pat's put together a real good team. I don't think he knows this. I think he's gonna make a play, bro. I think he's gonna make a play for Giannis in the summertime. I don't know. I mean, because Dragic is not gonna be there. He cut another contract, I do believe, because they don't have to pay Justin Winslow. You know, Tyler Herro's already on a rookie, so, you know, you're not breaking up his books. I just told you Duncan Robinson got off of, coming off a G League contract, so, again, everything's affordable. They're gonna make a push for Giannis. I don't know if they get it, because I think Milwaukee's going to throw, you know, that crazy $285 million max money in Giannis' way, and he's going to make a hard decision. If, you know what I'm saying, it depending on how this finals rolls out, if he wants to stay or not, or go to South Beach. So that's how I assess. I like these moves Pat Riley's making. They just don't, you know, it's not Kevin Durant going to Miami or, you know, something that significant, man. But they're going to be right there at the end in each conference finals. I think they will.
Okay. 76ers, they get Glenn Robinson Jr. and Alex Burke from Golden State. They need more shooters. I'd be kind of disappointed in Philly's moves at the deadline. You know, they're tied right now with the Pacers for that fifth seed. And, they didn't really make a move. And, you know, you see some deception between Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I saw them the other night, and Embiid's just throwing his hands in the air because he's not getting the ball, and it was a turnover. And just Brett Brown's going to work himself on fire by the end of this season.
Right. The Philadelphia 76ers are not on the same page. Brett Brown is a good coach out of the San Antonio family tree, right? He can't corral his superstar, he can't get the ear of his superstar. The superstar is here. Superstar is media sensitive. We all know this. The superstar being Joel Embiid. Their superstar is somewhat of a dinosaur throwback, right? In a league that's just going small and smaller. But he has a skill set that can dominate. But I don't think he has the wiring to dominate. I don't think he kind of knows he's bigger than everybody else, you know, and uses that to his advantage. But, like, in order to be great, you know, to put yourself up there with the Michael Jordans of the world, the Kobe Bryants of the world, and Tim Duncan, whoever else of the world, Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, you got to work at it. And you might have to bite down a little bit on whatever. I don't know what – they've never really fully always released, like, Joel, whatever, it's ailing Joel. It's always – seemingly like a myriad of injuries that he deals with, but I don't think he has committed to a full health lifestyle of eating. You know, so you hear rumors and stuff like that, Brandon. And you know, this is a podcast, so we can talk freely about certain things. Barbershop talk or even like internet chatter. Joel Embiid doesn't take care of his body like he's supposed to. You know, junk food sometimes he's healthy, but that's all those things aren't conducive to winning. And I know guys, hey man, there's another in their channel with Lamar Odom did this, that, another, you know, so this guy drank. Yeah, man, but we Joel Embiid needs to be at a certain weight and a certain physical commitment needs to be made. And until that happens, man, he's always going to just be an underachiever. Yes, he'll be an all-star, but he'll be an all-star underachiever. I don't think obviously they're not going to make a move to the summertime, but even in the summertime, in this particular draft, there's nothing I would trade, really. What are you going to part ways with Joel Embiid for in this draft? No. You would have traded, if you were going to make a move, you would have traded Joel Embiid last year, you know what I'm saying, to try to get Zion Williamson. But I don't know, maybe you're right, Brandon. Like, they're not going to fire. They're going to try to find somebody who can make this connection. You know what I'm saying? It's funny, man. We watched that. They should learn. Whoever they bring in should be the same kind of guru magic that brought Kobe and Shaq together. Albeit this will be for different purposes, man. But the East is technically still be winnable. But he's got to, like I said, Joel's got to commit to it. Brett Brown, unfortunately, will get fired. He'll bounce back and find another gig, either in college or probably on another pro team because he's that good of a coach. Probably back in San Antonio or something crazy, right? But they haven't necessarily constructed this team properly. With Jimmy Butler left and J.J. Redick left, you took away a lot of your shooting. McConnell played there as well last year. McConnell was playing for the Pacers. He played with it. So again, a lot of their outshot shooting went away. They brought in the Joel Embiid killer from the, you know, they started him away from Boston. But like, you know, he you didn't bring him to be the leader of the team, and seemingly that's what Al Horford is now, the leader of the team. He's the spokesperson of the team when it's supposed to be Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. But they're not openly discussing one another, but they're not on the same page at all.
Right.
They're probably gonna bring another coach who's gonna try to who can come in and figure these guys out. And then if he can't do that, then they'll probably make a move. But it's kind of sad the way Philadelphia's kind of went now, because they're teetering back and forth. Man, they have a better I think we have a better the Pacers. I think the Pacers have a better balanced team, but they clearly have the better team because Joel. How many times has he owned Miles Turner? Miles Turner and Sabonis. It's they got to get their act together, or there's going to be a lot of changes in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And another trade was made. D'Angelo Russell traded from the Warriors to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins.
Yep.
There was a few draft mm-hmm. picks in there. I actually like that trade. I think it's good for both guys.
Right. They didn't really want D'Angelo out there. It was an asset. They signed. It was a signed asset. I feel like they signed him, and then 2 days later, they were talking about, they had Wojo on there talking about saying they might move this contract. They don't know what the contract. I'm like, what the hell they signing for? You know, it's wild, man. With Wiggins coming over, it gives him a refresh start. Coming out of Kansas, he had a lot of promise with him as well. But he hasn't lived up to it. And him and Towns, they're supposed to be a good 1-2 outside punch, wing, inside punch, and they haven't lived up to it. The Minnesota Timberwolves stink. They made the playoffs. I say the last 5 years, maybe once, right? With this particular core, they fired coaches. Good coaches, Tibbs. Recently, and again, they brought in a guy who was going to be more player friendly, and it still hasn't worked. They've had chances. They put pieces around these guys too. Jimmy Butler was there, as we all remember, at some point. So they've had their chances to try to make it work, and it just hasn't worked in Minnesota. So Wiggins gets a chance to come over there. He's going to play out the rest of this season. He can gun all he wants. Right, because the real Golden State Warriors ain't gonna be out there till next year. But I would assume next year, he's gonna have to get in line and learn how to be a real professional, hopefully, because he hasn't missed talent. Great wingspan, and can finish around the rim. Got a good mid range game, three balling. Ain't where it's supposed to be at, but then he can drive to the bucket. But he plays with no drive, seemingly. He plays like, I got the check, I got the money, who cares? If I get 20 tonight, great. If I get 22 tonight, great. If we win tonight, great. And you can't, Minnesota wasn't having it. Minnesota was trying to, how many times Minnesota's going to hit the reset button? Kevin McHale, Kevin Love, I'm sorry, not Kevin McHale, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Love. And now hitting the reset now. I wouldn't be surprised. In the summertime or even next summer, even next February, Karl Anthony Towns ain't there, depending upon what's coming into the NBA in the following years or who's disgruntled with their particular team or contract. But those are all kind of reset trades for both teams, and Minnesota is be looking in the draft again for more talent.
Yeah, absolutely. A shocker to me, John, a head shaker, I guess, was the fact that the Pistons traded Andre Drummond to the Cavs for pretty much a bag of lunch and a Diet Coke.
I don't know. Andre Drummond has done nothing but be, I don't know. I guess it was more promising for him coming out of Connecticut than what on what the and he never just kind of lived up to it. He's a double double machine, but nobody, no championship team kind of wanted to trade for him, even though he's a double double machine. So I don't know. I think he's a free agent next year. I think it's for the summertime or something like that. I think, yeah. So, yeah, man, somebody will pick him up. But
Detroit was nervous the fact that he was going to pick up his option for next year, and it was going to be a struggle to figure out what they didn't want to pick on that big contract. So, right now, John, they're doing the NBA selections, the All-Star teams. LeBron and Giannis are doing the selections. LeBron's got Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and Luka right now as his starting lineup, and that's a damn good team compared to Giannis. Giannis, Joel Embiid, and Pascal Siakam right now, those three.
Oh, wow.
He's probably going to go James Harden here because that would leave the two point guards last, Kemba and Trey. But LeBron's team definitely going out to try to win this All-Star game this year. So it'll be interesting to see with that. I thought it was interesting today, John, an interview with Kevin Durant, that he said he knew halfway through last season that he was not going to sign with the Warriors. He was going to leave.
Man, I argue. So I have so many texts. Messages and Facebook arguments. I don't do that. I don't Facebook argue anymore. But I have so many the inside people know me and you, and you know, saying the other 1,000 podcasters, and he's, you know, saying people like ourselves knew that he wasn't, man. But you can't tell people, man, these guys want to win. Like, no, man, that's not this. That he came. I don't know. I don't want to go. You know, I don't want to go history lane with Kevin Durant, man. You know, it'll be a whole new. You know what I'm saying, a whole new fresh book for him and Kyrie next year. I'm sure there'll be drama. I'm sure there will be, you know, soap opera drama in Brooklyn next year. And we'll see if they can, you know, sort of rise all above it.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, man, I love LeBron's starting lineup. He got James Harden, too. So they're doing the reserves now. I'll be very interested, John, to see where Sabonis goes to. You would think maybe Giannis would pick Sabonis.
I don't know. Maybe things stay traditional, and then everybody stay physical. You know what I'm saying? The East guys and West guys.
Yeah, right. That ain't going to happen. Giannis just picked first reserve Chris Middleton. So he went straight to his Bucks. Was the first guy. Hey, Giannis' backcourt starters are Kemba Walker and Trae Young. Holy cow. You want to talk about a very short backcourt. John, what was your thoughts? Marcus Morris, Isaiah Thomas going to the Clippers. The Knicks get a 2020 first round pick and Mo Harkless, but it's looking like the Clippers may buy out Isaiah Thomas if they can get Darren Collison in there.
Yeah, it looks like Darren Collison is in a tug of war between the Lakers and the Clippers. We'll see how all that kind of plays out. Those are insignificant trades, really. The Knicks overpaid for Morris to come there in the first place. The Knicks need to accumulate many draft picks. The mess they have put themselves in with no free agents wanting to come there. So, with Morris coming over, or even with, you know, saying, if Isaiah Thomas don't get bought out, like. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard building consistency, playing together, is what's going to determine the success of the Clippers season.
Mm-hmm. I have a problem, John, with Darren Collison. If he comes back, I think the Pacers should get some kind of compensation. The fact that he still had years on his contract and he retired, the Pacers should, if somebody comes back like that, own the rights for somebody. And the fact that they don't, there should be some kind of compensation.
But didn't he retire going into free agency, though? He was a free agent and chose to retire. Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I got, really, on the trade deadline. Pacers were silent on the moves. John, can we talk real quick about this hot streak right now that Dame Lillard's on? Holy cow. I watched it. He pretty much damn near ruined the Kobe celebration for the Lakers that night. Spamming threes in.
Yeah, he was on a, what is it on, 55 point tear or something like that. The good thing is he does that without doing it with like voluminous like James Harden does or gunning out the whole team. It is bad though if you can remember who bounced them out in the playoffs. Golden State.
Last year they got swept.
Sometimes when he meets another gunslinger, like his gun ain't. terrible. He's actually not that great against bigger guards. Steph Curry's not a big guy, but Steph Curry's actually a little bit bigger than Dame. When he meets the other gun, like you know, say somebody who can meet his can match his intensity, we're seeing a good Dame right now. We're seeing real good Dame. Like I said, the Lakers don't really have anybody that can match his intensity at that guard spot on their roster currently constructed. When Dame has to play somebody on the level like what's the kid, the point guard in Utah? Help me out with the name.
Rudy?
Yeah. Or like I said, of course Steph Curry. So those are the games you have to like. Okay, then Dame's got to play harder because now he's got to play just as, you know what I'm saying, hard on defense as he's giving the offense. And he does, man. He puts a lot into offense and making big shot after big shot. And he is, man, when he's on fire like that, man, it's a thing of beauty. It's just like if things escalate, man, Dame sometimes doesn't always come through in the clutch, I'll say.
If Sabonis is going to be the last pick in this freaking draft,
he's an all-star though.
John, they only have a couple picks left, and it's Westbrook, Sabonis, Chris Paul, Donovan Mitchell, and Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram better go last. You know he's not. If they pick Sabonis last, you're gonna be that last kid in the pickup game pick.
How is Westbrook? This man's a two-time MVP.
You know what we can do? We can go ahead and say, guess what? Indiana, another sign of disrespect for the Pacers.
Uh-oh.
Getting disrespected. Having the last pick in the draft. Chris Paul just went. So there's two guys left on each roster. Westbrook, Donovan Mitchell, Sabonis, and I can't think who the fourth one is. They're not showing it on the board. But Giannis, I don't know who the hell's picking his team. He's terrible. Westbrook, Sabonis, Mitchell, and Ingram. Sabonis, if he goes last, you better expect a Twitter raid from me.
Uh-oh.
No respect. Nobody believes in him. We got this clown. We got some of these clowns getting picked earlier. Don't deserve the early picks. John, Damian Lillard, the man's got unlimited range. I mean, you had Caruso on him, and Caruso, he was just running circles around Caruso. They started double teaming him as soon as he walked across half court, and he was still bombing threes on him.
You have to pick up Dame Dollar at half court. He's that darn good.
Yeah. Well, we're down to the last two guys, Donovan Mitchell and Domantas Sabonis. This is going to be interesting. He's going to be last. If he goes last, he's on LeBron's team. Give me a second, see what he says.
We can't be having this dead air, Brandon, worrying about the bonus, man.
It's the bonus. Last guy.
Oh, man. Well, start your rant. Brandon, you lose your mind on NBA All-Star, man. What about the Major League Baseball trades that went down?
So the picks have all been made. We're going to take a break.
Oh, my God. The bonus. The last effing pick. Nobody believes in this Pacers team, which I don't, unless they last night was pathetic. Well, let's talk about the Pacers now, because John, I took in the third quarter, I took Toronto +4.5. I've seen this book before. I've seen the Pacers piss away a big lead, and you just knew it was coming in that Toronto game. Should have been a foul at the end. Yeah, he should have been.
I don't like the fact the Pacers have kind of sacrificed games to try to get Victor Oladipo. I guess back faster than what, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess they're trying to get back faster. Just fast. Between Lamb and McDermott, Lamb was off last night, but McDermott's been hot. Both Holidays, as far as rotation, have been hot. When Victor came back, kind of thrown all that into jeopardy, or to kind of throw out, not in jeopardy, but kind of thrown that off, because we kind of get Victor at least, I think he's averaging like 15 shots per contest. He went 1 for 10 one night, and I'm like, dude, you would never want Victor Oladipo go 1 for 10, even when he was 100%. So, well, he went 1 for 10 for three, right? And he took 17 shots the whole night, man. So again, man, I think they're rushing to get Victor back. Like, and we still got time. I mean, we still got time and games where we could try to win when the team has been winning without Victor Oladipo, right? So. We don't need Victor Oladipo to get 25, right? We just need, they're not right now. Come playoff time, maybe, but not right now. So that's what I kind of been disappointed about with the Pacers.
Yeah, Depot, Pacers are 1-3 since his return to the lineup. And that one win really was a kind of a fluke. I don't want to say a fluke, but it was not expected the way that team finished. That game finished.
Right.
But, yeah, but, yeah, it's going to take the Pacers team some time to mesh. I knew it. I mean, some people, Pacers fans, are ready to jump off the bridge. And should they have made a move at the deadline? I don't think so. I think they already made their move with Depot coming back. And, you know, the Pacers,
right,
they don't like to mess with stuff midseason. It's never been their mantra. I kind of would have liked to see them trade either TJ Leaf or Jeremy Lamb at the break, but they didn't. I would even have had them trade Miles Turner if they had the right price and the right value. Also, it was noted that they league officials apparently have said that the Pacers were not looking to trade Miles at the All-Star break, but if any trade would be made with Miles, it would be in the offseason. So take that as you wish as we go into the rest of this season and into next season.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I didn't think the Pacers going to make no moves. They're happy with the team as it is constructed right now.
Yep. A couple quick hitters I got, John, for this weekend. Two big games this weekend. I guess rivalry-wise, I won't call them big games, but Purdue and IU play each other on Saturday, and as well as Duke and North Carolina. So two of the biggest rivalries, Duke, Carolina, Purdue and IU. There's a rumor that the general might be in Assembly Hall this weekend for the game against Purdue. So IU, I think IU, I'm going to give my prediction. I think IU wins this game, John, with it being a home game. Purdue sucks on the road. And they ain't going to shoot lights out like they did last night. Last night was remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Purdue had a lot of synergy. A lot of synergy last night playing against a ranked opponent. It makes them look better on their tournament resume, right? Because coming out of January, losing to Rutgers on the road, everybody was kind of like, Rutgers, really? You know what I'm saying? But again, Purdue, as February has kind of like started, man, they're undefeated. And when you pick up a win against a spunky Northwestern team, and like I say, when you blow out Iowa, going into Saturday playing against your rival, I give them if the general shows up, that does give the Hoosiers a little bit of an emotional boost. But honestly, roster for roster, I give it to Purdue. From a coaching standpoint, I edge to Purdue. The Hoosiers do not play as a unit, but they do play better on the road. I don't think anything that IU's gonna throw at the Bullets is gonna you know what I'm saying, frazzle the Bullets. I think what frazzles the Bullets on Saturday is gonna be the crowd. They're gonna hear everything, right? From that,
yeah.
If Bobby Knight shows up, they're going to hear everything. Your mother, your sister, your daughter, your wife. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna hear everything. But I think they're tough minded, man. I think Purdue pulls it out. And like, man, that might be a crowning jewel for them to get, you know what I'm saying, for again, another thing for their tournament resume. Because, hell, 3 weeks ago, Brandon, we were talking about them not being in. And I think Lenardi, Joe Lenardi, you know what I'm saying, Nodal, you know what I'm saying, Bracatalis has them in the tournament, like as a, I want to say it was a 10 seed. I don't double check. But I think Purdue wins. And a close one.
Yep.
And a classic. Because this is gonna be Clank City for both teams.
A couple of viewing options as well for this for these people, for you guys. There's a new documentary on Dwayne Wade called D Life or D Wade Life Unexpected. It's gonna premiere Sunday on ESPN on the 23rd of February, 9 p.m. It's gonna include hundreds of hours of home movies, exclusive video diaries, and all access footage shot over the last 10 years with D Wade. So. That should be on ESPN on the 23rd of February. It's going to be a great one to watch. And, John, I don't know how if you've seen the first part one of the Mike Vick 30 for 30, but tonight is part two of the Mike Vick 30 for 30. I thought it was very well done, the first part of it.
Okay. Michael Vick, we have to
check
it out.
Mike Vick, there was talking about him and his financial advisor saying just how he didn't care about money. He pissed money away and – a rental car. He's got a $350,000 watch just missing, and he didn't give a shit and didn't know where it was at. And his financial advisor found it on the floorboard of one of the cars in the back seat. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I've been looking for that." Like, and then it talks about during it's right before and it ended. Part one ended right as it was getting close to the dog fighting. There was state police officers and sheriffs that just camped out outside the house at the church, and Mike Vick and his group was just oblivious to what was going on. Just thought they were protecting the church. And Vic's talking about how he was there on the weekends, or he was there during on some off days that Dan Reeves and them gave him. And then there's just so many people going in and out of the house. And that the biggest downfall for Mike Vick as well was that he had too many people in his inner circle, and he felt like he had to take care of everybody from his home block. And, it you know, kind of Mike Vick talking about his life and how some of the mistakes he made early in his career. And so I thought it was probably one of the top five so far, one of the top five 30 for 30s I've seen. And part two is tonight. You need to check it out. Tonight is part two on ESPN at 9 o'clock. But, yeah, it was very, very well done, and I'm interested. Well, I'm definitely going to watch part two this evening. So.
Okay.
My man, you got anything else for the fam tonight? It's kind of a short show tonight, not much on the docket.
Yeah, the only couple things I got, dude, you know this is an alumni show. We gotta talk a little Ball State basketball. Coach Whifford, up in Muncie, got the Cardinals winning again. They you know, Ball State plays in the MAC, so they still gotta win the conference in order to get to the tournament. But they picked up some wins here lately. Todd, and also Taj T, play senior. I got weekly MAC honors the past couple weeks. Doing good thing, man. Hoosiers, shame on me for saying that. Cardinals, it's like 13-9 overall, 13-9 overall, 7-3 at home. They're heading in the right direction. You know, I think it's a program that's kind of been long forgotten. Like as far as like players wanting to go there from local players wanting to go there because they haven't won, right? But Cardinals getting, like I said, Coach Whipper's getting the Cardinals right in back in the right direction, man. A lot of people kind of they beat Ohio at home a couple weeks ago, and they played Kent State on the road the other night and beat Kent State when they weren't favored at all to beat Kent State on the road. Currently sitting third in the West, in MAC. They got a tough road ahead of them, Brandon, because they got, you know, saying MAC leaders, Eastern Michigan, Bowling Green, and Buffalo coming up before, and they got Western Michigan as well. But people look out for the Cards, man. I mean, like I said, come MAC tournament time, like I said, depending on their seeding, they might actually get it in. But like I said, you know, the MAC is only taking one. They're only taking one team from the MAC, I think, this year. Like they always do every year anyway. So it's going to be a tall order for Ball State to win the tournament.
How about that Hinkle Magic last night?
Well, I'm getting ready to get to the Bulldogs too, man. I'm a Ball State alumni. I'm gonna get to the Bulldogs too, man. Yeah, there's no way. Growing up in the we're spoiled here in Indiana. As everybody knows, man. We play like I don't care what they say about New York being the Mecca. I feel like Indiana is the Mecca. We got IU in their history and Butler and Purdue in their history and Butler's recent winning history, man. So a lot of people. Some people on this phone line, included, didn't believe necessarily about Coach Jordan and this and his coaching style and his reign over this direction, over this Bulldogs squad. But between Kamar Baldwin and Little McBuckets, Brandon, if they're hitting shots, which you know what I'm saying, if they're hitting shots, which they usually are, usually if both of them are on, they're like unbeatable, really. If McDermott and Kamar Baldwin are, McDermott's the shooter, Baldwin's kind of the playmaker on this particular squad. But they're hitting shots, man. They're unbeatable, and they have proof of that because their non conference record. Hell, they were 15-1. They only lost before they start losing. You know, in the Big East is a doggy dog. It is, and we can talk at the end about the Big Ten being a doggy dog. The Big East is just a doggy dog too, right? But Butler, before they got into conference play, the only team they lost to was Baylor, and Baylor's number one team in the league in the nation, and which many people believe is they are rightfully so the number one team in the nation. Baylor. Baylor doesn't turn it over a whole lot. They got good guards. They don't necessarily shoot from the long distance, great, but they get to the charity stripe and they rebound and they play tough nose defense. That's Baylor. That's the kind of mirror image of what Butler is. So, but my personal opinion, Brandon, Butler plays in a harder conference. The Big 12 is when Oklahoma's not good this year. Not as Oklahoma State, not as Kansas State. So that's why they're kind of cruise controlling in through their conference. Butler, on the other hand, has to play Providence, who's going to make the tournament. Seton Hall, who's going to make the tournament. Villanova, we know, is going to make the tournament. And Villanova, who's the team they beat last night. Who I thought two weeks ago they didn't get a fair shake in Villanova when they played them because of the free throw disparity. But no, man, you got to give it up to Butler. They are playing some excellent basketball, I think they'll take some more lumps as the Big East season because that's the Black and Blue League. They'll take some more lumps as the season, but they're going to make the tournament. And they're probably going to be, I don't know. I think we had them ranked as high as like a 2 seed. I think they kind of fall. They're back somewhere between 5 and 8 when tournament plays start.
Okay. I was livid last night in the game. I don't know if you saw my Twitter. I was just lighting it up. I had Villanova +2.5, and it looked like it was a 2-pointer foot on the line. And the fact that they didn't even review it for that. They just reviewed that it was before the clock went out. And then I got my gambling people online, Twitter, started backing me up, and I got so many likes and retweets and people commenting. It was it lit up. But, my goodness, John, that was a terrible bad beat. I like to see Butler win, but Baldwin, go for a 2. Don't go for a 3. Come on. It was bad. So, what's your thoughts real quick on the All-Star format, how they're doing it this year?
Which were you talking about? You talking about the NBA?
Yeah. With the game. They're going to reset the scores. They're going to reset the scores after the first period, the second period, and the third period. And then the fourth period is going to be – they're going to then add up the scores for the first 3 periods and then add 24 points to it. And it's a no-clock play till you get to this score.
I guess there's other things more important than what the NBA does with their crazy little All-Star game that don't really count and they don't really care about. But
I care about this one.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess they're trying to make it competitive. Maybe if it works, man, maybe the NFL adopts something for their Pro Bowl. I don't know. They can't. The Pro Bowl and the All-Star Game is two different things, two different animals. But I don't know. I mean, dude, I don't watch the All-Star Game. I watch the All-Star Game for the fanfare. I really don't care who wins.
Okay. Well, I just thought it was interesting how they do the format this year, and they're going to take those scores and add it up. So, and the guy that actually came up with it is from Indiana. He's a Hoosier who actually came up with that idea. So that's kind of where I thought it was neat that a school teacher here in Indiana helped come up with the type of game to play. And, yeah, it should be interesting, I think. I wasn't sure what to think of it at first, but, yeah, it looks pretty cool. So any final things, my man?
Only thing I got, man, you know, I'm back to reading books, man. I was looking for Kobe's book, and guess what? At the library, they're all checked out. If you go to Barnes & Noble, they're all back ordered, man. So I had to resort to I got myself on the list to get it, man, so I'm going to read it, man, from cover to cover, I promise you. But I got myself a book called The Soul of Basketball. It's written by Ian Thompson. It kind of covers the time between 2009 and 2010. It follows three teams. Follows the Miami Heat, the Boston Celtics, and the Dallas Mavericks of that year. The primary players being on the team, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. And Dirk Nowitzki. I haven't finished it just yet. But that kind of circles around the circumstances of that particular season. And, with the Lakers winning in 2010. I have flipped through it. So it is. For anybody looking, and like I said, anybody looking for basketball heads, right, or sports fanatics, looking for information about, you know what I'm saying, Kobe Bryant, it's a good book because, like I said, it talks a big chunk of how Boston and Doc Rivers defended Kobe Bryant and how some of the things, you know, say he said to them back and like how they defended him. So you get there's some good dialogue with that. There's also some good dialogue of how they had to make things gel in Miami when Bosh and Dwayne Wade, you know, saying and LeBron all joined forces. There's also talk about in the book about like I said, Dirk Nowitzki. And how, you know, saying how the year after the Lakers won, how they beat the Lakers and had to, you know, saying it wasn't necessarily favored to beat the Miami Heat. Nobody gave them a chance, and here, hell, they won. So it's real interesting read from a variety of different viewpoints, man. Like I said, I haven't finished it just yet, but I'm going to, and then I can't wait till I get the Mamba mentality. Can't wait, and I report on that one as well.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Like I said, kind of a short show, but we got about an hour and some in, some hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was good. We'll be back again next week with some kind of show. So, John, I'll let you close us out.
Man, everybody, you know, thanks for listening.
Crossroads Sports.